And it's a beautiful day in Pittsburgh. Thanks for joining us here on the Pomp and Joe Show with Austin City Limits Bechtold behind the glass. And you're feeling better because you were out a couple of days. That's unusual for you.
Yeah, I was out Wednesday. I was out Thursday. First time I've ever taken an official sick day here before. It was weird, but that's how much that this illness crushed me. And I basically just slept. For a
long
time.
Your body is telling you what to do, and you can't ignore your body. So
no, you can't.
It's good you did it. Good you're back. I want to remind you, Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The Fan Text Line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And before we get into more conversation about Aaron Rodgers, what he did, and some of the other stuff, so we have people on the line who've been waiting, so Austin, let's rattle them off, and then we'll get into some sound from yesterday after the game.
All right, let's go to Andrew, he's in Pittsburgh.
What's up, Andrew?
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Doing good.
Hey, I wanted to say one thing real quick. I know the defense didn't look great yesterday at all and what we expect, but they did lead the league in pressures. And Highsmith also had, I think, himself 8 pressures.
Which yeah, he was good.
Promising because he hasn't looked great. The other thing I wanted to ask, I don't know if you guys have any updates. Do you guys know about the Deshaun Elliott injury?
No, we'll find out tomorrow, and thanks for the call. Mike Tomlin does his press conference tomorrow, so we'll be over there, and you'll hear it right here on The Fan, but that'll be one of the things. It did not look promising. He threw his hat down. He's been around. He knows, and his leg got absolutely twisted in that pile over there. I'm guessing it's going to be a couple of weeks, hopefully no more.
Yeah, it looks like his cleat got caught in the turf a little bit too, which we know we've seen a lot with turf and those type of fields and stuff like that can really screw up your knee. So ideally for Elliott, it's just a sprain or a knee bruise that occurred right in that moment that feels better a couple of days later. But we'll ultimately find out tomorrow. Here is Ryan in New Jersey.
Well, oh, Ryan's one of our favorites. What's going on? Yes, he does. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, Bob, I told Limits I'm not going to get on Drew Aller, but whatever, so we'll let that one go. But I actually wanted to call a story that's going on in college football that's not really getting a lot of steam here. South Florida smashed Boise State, and then they beat Florida the other day. Mm-hmm. They play at Miami this week. I never trust Miami. So you could be looking at a team, and Navy will probably be ranked towards the end of the year when they play them. South Florida could be 4-0 against ranked teams and run the table and go into the college football playoff. I'm not saying they're going to beat Miami, but even if they lose to them, they're going to make the playoffs. That's kind of what's going on with that one. So that's just one of those Cinderella stories. They're fun to watch to keep an eye on as the season develops.
They're fun to watch, but I'm telling you, Miami is for real this year. I think they're going to be a legitimate.
I don't know. I don't know if I trust the quarterback that much, but the you never put it past Miami to lose 2 bad games. They're like Pitt. The only Pitt loses 5 bad games instead of 2. But, you know, whatever, it is what it is. So just keep an eye on the Bulls is what I'm saying. But my question was, if the Steelers now – so the Steelers got a guy who can throw. Now, they haven't had a quarterback who could really throw the ball since the elbow ligament snapped. You know, when was that, in 2018
yeah,
or whatever
a,
what
yeah,
it was?
It's been a while.
It's been a long time. So they got a guy that can throw. I mean, he's 40, but whatever. That arm is like 21. I swear to God, I've never seen a guy that could flick the ball like him. But the so if they're all in, and I know the defense looked terrible and Broderick Jones, blah blah blah, all the negative downsides. They've got cap space here. They have draft capital. They really need to be actively in the trade market for once. I know there's not a lot of in-season trades, but they really need to look to make a trade or bring somebody in to shore up the weaknesses. And I got a question, especially because the guy just said about Elliott being hurt, and I don't know how bad that knee is. Why didn't they bring in Jabril Peppers like the minute he was cut, like when they brought Joe Hayden? And I don't understand that.
We had that question, the same thing when it happened, and I don't know the reason for it. I don't know because they've done that before. Well, now they especially do if this injury, which we find out about
definitely.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, I would. They have the money. I would have him on the plane. You know, to be honest, I mean, because and not only that, he'll thump too. Which obviously, when you've got guys running through your smallish defensive line running downhill, you need somebody that's going to come up and thump.
Yeah.
That's why I miss the Landon Roberts. You know what I mean? Like you need somebody who's willing to just smack them. You know, like they yeah, that run defense, I mean, Derrick Henry was, he looked like he was, you know, Secretariat for most of that game last night. And right, Buffalo has the same problems as the Steelers.
They do.
Defense.
Well, I'll tell you what, Buffalo and Baltimore's defense, too, got exposed a little bit last night. Thanks for the call, as always. You know, those teams will shore up. All of them will, and that includes the Steelers' defense. They're not going to be what they did yesterday. They're going to get better as time goes along. But if the offense can sustain points, and it all starts with Aaron Rodgers, right? We just talk about his performance with just four touchdowns, no picks, just a command of everything. And that was a pretty good defense he's going against. He knew who to pick on and who not to pick on. He got hit a few times, got back up and played more. So very encouraging. And I know, as we hear from him, Austin, that he was very, in a subtle way, throwing little jabs at New York. He didn't do it throughout the week. He knows better before the game. But after the game, he made his message very clear.
Oh, he was happy to win, Bob.
And you spoke about the meeting with Aaron Glenn on McAfee a few months ago. Beating him, is there significance in that, since he basically told you to your face that he didn't think you were right for that team?
Yes, that's what he did.
So there's significance in beating him for you?
I was happy to beat everybody associated with the Jets.
That's pretty much how you have to do it. And he's smart enough to know how it goes around. You don't say it before the game. You say it after the game once you beat them. And that's what he did.
Yeah, you got to walk the walk before you can actually talk the talk sometimes. Especially in the position that Rodgers was in, like by them basically just dumping him over, we'll call it a text message, where you show up for just a minute.
Well, I thought it was interesting. The New York Post this morning, in the back page, and they always have the best headlines, has a picture of Aaron Rodgers smiling and says, "So, now he can play." So they miscalculated maybe. And again, it's a long season. We'll see how this moves forward. But what a tremendous start for the Steelers. And Mike Tomlin had to be happy about a lot of things, too. We heard from him after the game. Some of the key things he talked about mostly was his trust in Aaron Rodgers. And people were asking him about when did you know? He goes, "I watch it every day. I see it every day," which is one of the reasons why he didn't have to play or, you know, didn't play at all in the preseason, Austin. But Tomlin was very bullish on his quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, he was basically just saying that is what I saw on a consistent basis every single day at practice. Like, you guys wonder why I thought that I had so much why did I have so much confidence in this? That's why, like, because Aaron Rodgers is my quarterback.
I just thought he was game all day. But again, you guys asked me last week, why was I confident? That's why I was confident. That's what I've been looking at in preparation, and I'm appreciative of it, not only his efforts, but the efforts of the collective.
Yeah, and he should be. I mean, that's the kind of effort that he hasn't received, but it's largely been their doing also. They have not found a replacement for Ben Roethlisberger, and Aaron Rodgers for this year will be it, but beyond that, who knows? They still are in that search for a franchise quarterback, which leads us to Justin Fields. He was here. They let him go. He played very well. I think a lot of people still had doubts about his passing, at least for one game, and we saw this from time to time with the Bears. He had 2 4-touchdown games with the Bears, and in those games, he was real good. He also threw an interception in each of those games, but yesterday, he was good with the football. Was not careless with it, and he made some great throws when he had to Garrett Wilson.
Well, he did, and what was a little bit surprising to me is, don't you think the Steelers would have been a little bit more ready for Justin Fields, knowing that he was just in the building last year and you know how to approach him? You know,
defensively? Especially on that touchdown where you knew he could roll right or left, and depending on how he's going to go,
right.
they seemed like they didn't even expect that play.
No, I was surprised
by
that.
They had to expect it.
They had nobody. I think it was one of the safeties that were on the edges and basically just got completely sucked into the play and lost their eyes on Fields. He played very well. Like, I was impressed. I was very, very impressed with Fields and ultimately how he performed.
412-928-9370. The other story of the weekend was Cam Hayward. Cam Hayward had gone a long time because he apparently brought this up to the Steelers back in February where he's coming off a big season last year. He was an All-Pro. Contract didn't reflect that, but the contract was signed before he was an All-Pro and coming off a season where he had injuries and not as effective. And so he wanted a sweetener. Now the question becomes, would the Steelers give in to that or not? And their policy typically is not to do stuff like that, especially with a contract that has 2 years remaining on it, and that's what he got, a 3-year contract. And so he pushed as far as he can. I was under no belief that he was not going to play in that game. Regardless of the outcome of this, if he had not gotten even an incentive reach, I don't think he would have done it. I think he has too much respect for his teammates and his position. So he was going to play. But you know, Austin, he did not get what he wanted, which I think was some upfront money based on, you know, taken from next year, give it to me now. He got incentives that are only tied to playoffs, which are good because, you know, if you get there, you get it. But the problem is they haven't been there, and when they do, they don't last very long.
Yeah, they don't win. So this is, to me, was just kind of, Cam, this is what you're going to get. Take it or leave it. And he ultimately just decided, all right, if there's no other way that I can make any extra money, if this is the season that we believe it can be, then I can make it. So it's a good move for the Steelers. It's a good move in the public eye, too. Oh, well, they ultimately did give Cam Hayward the sweetener. They took care of him, whatever.
No, that's not true. They didn't. They gave him incentives. That's different.
They did. I know.
Sweeteners,
they, right? Pretty much.
Sweeteners are sweeteners, and that's money now. So, you know, I think that's a tough situation to be in. Again, looking back, I think probably 2020, looking back, Cam Hayward and his crew will say, we should have gotten a lot of this written in advance when we got the three-year contract. But at the time, he was not in a position of strength. They're coming off a season that wasn't as good as last year's. Now, he went out and he earned it. And I get what he's saying. I want to be paid the market. That's fine. But the contract says something different. So
this is what Hayward had to say after the game about the deal.
I don't really want to talk about it now. I think it's important to just keep the eyes on. You know, I'll answer that later. It's not anything special, but I just think we just want a big freaking game in, you know, against the New York Jets, new quarterback, new freaking weapons, new freaking players on our side of the ball. Big win. I can't really focus on anything else but that.
I think that was a proper answer, too. I don't think there's any reason to go into anything beyond that. This was a game day. He played. They won. There's a time and a place for that, and, you know, he'll address it at some point.
Can you imagine if they lost and they asked him that question, though? That would have been a lot more interesting, potentially, of a response. But, yeah, Cam, I think, made the right decision here. Just
especially
talk about it during the week.
If you lost in the run game, defense was a reason why, which it could have been because the Jets had their way. And that's the other thing that was really disappointing. That they knew going into this game that Breece Hall and Braylon Allen were going to be, plus Justin Fields. It's all run game first and foremost.
Everyone watching on TV knew that.
They knew it. They knew it, prepared for it, and they couldn't stop it. That's a little disconcerting.
Well, yeah, I mean, they ran the ball down their throat for a considerable amount of that game, especially the first three quarters. Like, the Jets' running attack did whatever it wanted with a first-time offensive coordinator against the highest-paid defense in all of football. Like, those first couple of drives, the Jets just, whatever they dialed up, those scripted plays, worked to perfection. And you just left the Steelers shaking their heads, wondering what's going on. I guess Evan Washburn said they had one of those uncomfortable conversations on the sideline that veteran teams, veteran defenses can do. Maybe that worked a little bit, Bob, but I don't know about you. I'm still a little bit concerned about the defense, like, especially the run game. They're going to get Derek Harmon back. That's good. But doesn't say much about some of the additions they made on that defensive line in terms of depth.
Yeah, Wyatt Black was in there, but I didn't notice him as much as I had in the preseason.
No.
But he's a guy I still have optimistic beliefs of. He came in as a fifth-round pick, and I thought he was almost unmovable over there. So I look at him at the nose and saying he could be one of those guys, like a Casey Hampton sort of player, where he's just taking up blockers. And that's also very effective. 412-928-9370. We have more callers on board.
Yeah, let's go to Travis. He's in Harrisburg.
Go ahead, Travis. You're on. What's up?
Great to hear from you, Bob. Thanks, City Limits. I've got a love sandwich here. So things that I love is that Omar and Mike T look pretty smart for the people that they brought in the offseason, paying immediate dividends. And I thought to myself yesterday, Jalen Ramsey in one half football gave us more splash plays than Minka seemingly did for almost two seasons. The middle of the sandwich is where I'm concerned, and it's in the trenches. And Bob, like, here's the thing that drives me crazy. You have this thing called training camp, and you've got your guys sequestered for basically about 7 weeks before things actually get serious. And what is Pat Meyer looking at that, oh, yeah, Broderick's going to be ready to play? And I get he had some good competition on the other side of the ball, but he just did not look prepared. And fundamentally, I'm leaning more towards bust than breakout. My final thing is, guys, things that, and this is the other part of the love, I love seeing some guys step up and I'm fully prepared to elevate Calvin Austin to wide receiver 2.3. He's almost there. What he did yesterday I thought was really awesome. I loved him getting in, getting the pass interference, making the plays, and it was just fun to, knowing what that guy went through in his rookie year. See him have that moment opening day. It was fantastic. You two are great. This show is so much better without Starkey. You have a great day.
No, it's not. Joe runs the ship, and we always want him here running the ship. But thank you for the call. You know, the thing about Broderick Jones, some people are already labeling bust. And again, I think it's a little too premature to do that, only because he's moved to a different position, which was an original one. I expected better results like everybody else. But I'm not going to give up at this point, because I look at their backup situation, and who are you going to put in there? You know, Andres Pete has been around. He's a former number one, but he wasn't wanted by anyone. I don't think he was even activated yesterday. Dylan Cook, they have others. I mean, those for a game or two may be good. They pretty much have to sink or swim with these two guys. So don't give up on them at this juncture. However, there is a lot, considering how good he reportedly was in the preseason, and he was. I mean, the games we did, now I know they're not going against the Jets all pros and as they were yesterday, but, you know, you got to give it some slack here. I'm not willing to go that far. Am I concerned? Yes. Are you concerned, Austin? There should be concern, but I'm not going to say bust at this point.
The boat is taking on some water here, Bob. The boat is taking on significant water. He allowed 3 sacks and 4 pressures, according to PFF.
More than any left tackle in the game. Absolutely.
That's bad. That is not good. Like, yes, my first initial impression this season of Broderick Jones is really bad. After it was not very good in the preseason, it improved game by game. Like, he looked better as each game went on, but still, what's the level of competition that you're facing, plus Jacksonville and Carolina is also thrown in there. So, yeah, I'm very concerned about that, because as good as we saw Aaron Rodgers, if he's, you know, on the ground half the game, we're not going to be able to see that level of production. Broderick Jones is going to get him hurt.
And all it takes is one play to get. And he got hit hard yesterday. I thought the one was really going to be. He got sandwiched high and low.
Yeah.
And that was a tough one to watch anyone take, especially a 41-year-old. But he got up. He kept playing. And I think he was highly motivated, because it was the Jets going into that stadium. And given the way that Aaron Glenn dismissed him. Although, that whole thing, there's one of two ways you can do that. Both ways could have been critical if you're the quarterback. If you're Aaron Rodgers and you get a call or a text saying it, you'll be mad that they didn't do it face-to-face. But by bringing him in all the way across country, sitting him down and basically say, we don't want you anymore, is a wasted trip.
Yeah,
it's highly disrespectful, I think, for a guy like that.
I would much rather experience that breakup over text than have to fly across the country.
But then even that would have been looked at, oh, you don't even face him. They should have brought him in, had a big, long discussion with him, taken him out and say, this is what we're doing. We appreciate whatever, just a little bit more than. And that was clearly in the back of his mind and clearly used as motivation in this game, even though he didn't reveal it until after the game at 412-928-9370. Who we got next?
All right, let's go to Ron. He's in Bethel Park.
What's up, Ron?
Hey, guys. Let's take off the rose-colored glasses for a second and set the facts. The facts are offensive line, defensive line got beat up bad. And if it wasn't for special teams, they don't win this game.
That's true, but they also scored 34 points. And in, you know, the first week, we haven't seen that in quite some time. In fact, I don't know the last time they scored over 30. I'd have to go back and look. I don't remember many off the top of my head. Maybe in that Cincinnati game last year when it went back and forth. That'd be the only example, right, of that game.
Yeah, but let's look. They played the Jets. And to compare what Baltimore did, Baltimore's going against a Super Bowl contender. The Jets aren't a Super Bowl contender.
I understand that, but they have some pretty good players on their defensive side of the ball, and that posed problems for the Steelers' O-line, specifically Broderick Jones. All I'm saying is it's week one. They won a game, and I think for at least one day you should focus on that and say they got some offense. There's a lot to work on. Every one of these teams, you don't think Baltimore or Buffalo can say our defense stunk at critical points? Specifically, Baltimore. They fell apart late in the game. They made some terrible decisions. And they've had this problem over the years, right? I mean, they lose games where you expect. They went to Buffalo last year and had that game won, dominated, and then had, you know, Mark Andrews drops a 2-point conversion, other mistakes they make, and they made mistakes last night.
Yeah, but like you said, there's so many holes in this boat. I'm more concerned than I am optimistic. Rodgers cannot go to another game, get hit 7 times, get sacked 4 times at a 41-year-old body.
I agree with that. I think we all do. But I think at this point, we have one game to go on, and I got to believe it's got to get better. It better get better. If it doesn't, they're in a bad situation there at tackle.
That'd be a very bad situation to tackle. Because, I mean, think about it this way, Bob. Like, I thought Fautanu played good enough, but how good is he? How good is Isaac Seumalo? I don't know. He's been banged up significantly throughout his Steeler career. How much is he trying to help Broderick Jones? I wonder about the overall composition of this line. Like, Zach Frazier, we know, is good. Did he have that great of a day yesterday either?
Well, the run game indicates they didn't have a good day. They couldn't open up enough holes, and the backs couldn't get to those holes. So, you know, the bottom line is they need to improve. There's no question about it. And it starts with a game at home against Seattle. That's a good recipe for getting things back in order, because Seattle struggled yesterday in a lot of different ways. And if you look at their performance, they should have beaten San Francisco, because San Francisco wasn't all that effective either. I looked at the numbers for Brock Purdy, although high completion percentage, which was, I think, 20 of 22, he did what he had to do. But at the same time, Seattle at home managed 13 points against a defense that had some injuries. Sam Darnold passed for, I think, less than 150 yards. He wasn't all that good.
Yeah, Sammy was not very good. Purdy wasn't really that good in that game either. I mean, he had a couple of bad picks.
The numbers are a little misleading there. Yeah, he did.
A little bit.
Seattle running game, 50 yards. So they have problems there. The Steelers should have a situation on their hand. Other than Jackson Smith and Jigba, they had nobody else catching the ball. I think Sam Darnold has a way of looking. He looked really good in Minnesota, got a contract because of it. This is a different system out there, and I'm not sure if he's going to be the same quarterback. And Pittsburgh should tee off on him, I think.
Yeah, I think so. That was the best situation for Sam Darnold to be in, Minnesota. I'm curious tonight to see what ultimately J.J. McCarthy looks against that defense of Chicago as well and that matchup against the Bears. But yeah, Sam Darnold, I like Darnold, but here's my thing about Darnold. I like him. I think he's got good ability, but he's got to be in the right system. He's got to be in the right fit. He's not somebody that overcomes a significant amount of things like an Allen, Mahomes, those types of guys.
Well, people say that about Purdy, too. And his success is tied to the system and the philosophy.
It is. It is. And that's why, like, I want to see more from Darnold, what this system is like at Seattle. I think right now he's just an okay quarterback in that system.
Yeah, we'll find out. It's early in the season. A lot of things